If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of 1 John. We're closing out the book of 1 John. Our series is called Verified, and we've been talking about what it means to be verified as a follower of Christ. So if you are in the room, I'm glad you're here. If you're online, thank you for what you're doing. And I need to go back. If you're online and you want to get involved in one of these projects, you could text the word tree to 615-551-9800. Some of you go, why are you telling the people online? You know, we still have people who have not re-engaged yet, and we want you to be involved, and anything we can do, we want to stand alongside you and minister to your family as we continue to minister to the community. A couple of things that you can always count on in the going household, all right? It's almost certain. With the holidays coming, our family is going to gather together. We're going to have big meals. We're going to be around a table. We're going to be, everyone gets to choose at least one dish that they want at the holidays. And Amy goes around and, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? For certain, we're going to have green bean casserole that has some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going to get green bean casserole. We're going to have dressing. We're going to have, yes, I'm getting hungry right now thinking about it. We're going to have pumpkin pie that no one cuts till the next morning because it goes really good with a cup of coffee in the morning time very early. That's mine. And so, and typically I'm going to eat it all myself. You know, those are some things that are just certain that are going to happen. You know, but we're filled with a world full of uncertainty. I mean, there's all kinds of things in our own world today, in the days in which we're facing where we're going, ah, man, I don't know what it's going to look like. Well, it's into that kind of world even that John, the Apostle John, wrote the book of 1 John. Now, quickly, I want to say this to you. We're going to go back to his gospel. He wrote at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Apostle John wrote a gospel, and he wrote that to explain to us so that we would know how to be saved. He wanted us to be certain on how to be saved. He wrote this book, 1 John, a letter to a group of people, because he wanted to write to them so that they would know that for certain they are saved. So he wanted one of the letters is to know how to be saved. One is so that we would be certain that we are saved as followers of Christ. And so we're going to be, today our bottom line is that you may know, because John wants us to know. All throughout this series, I've told you, when you see the word know, underline it, circle it. So we're closing out with that we may know. And there's three points that I want you to catch. We're going to see. We're going to go from verse 6 all the way to the end of this chapter. And there's three points that we're going to see in this chunk of scripture, in this passage, that John wants us so that we can know. Number one is that you can know the facts. We're going to talk in this first section about there are some historical facts, some things that are written into history that we can know. The second one is this, is that we can know that he hears us. As followers of Christ, he hears us when we pray to him. And the third one is this, is that we may know the Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may know the Son, Jesus Christ. Folks, it's really important before we jump into here that you understand that Christianity is not just a philosophy, all right? It's classified in as you're studying, it's classified as philosophy. I want you to hear this. It's a relationship with the one true living Son of God, Jesus Christ. And you have the ability, I have the ability to know, do I truly know him? Am I verified as a follower of Christ? We started this series out looking at we were in chapter 1, but we said, listen, there's a verse in chapter 5, verse 13, that's kind of the central verse. And I'm going to read that to you because we're going to end with the same thing. This is why John wrote this letter, this book, as we call it in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the central verse. I write these things. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know, so that you may know that you have eternal life, so that you might know you have eternal life. Folks, I want you to be encouraged today. If you follow Jesus Christ, you can know for certain. You have assurance, because that's what John desires of us. So point one, let's talk about it. If our bottom line is that we may know, Well, how do we know? Number one is this, is that we can know some facts. We can know the facts about it. So let's start reading in verse 6. Verse 6 through verse 12. And I'm going to read slow here, okay? Because I want to make sure that you don't get lost and that I don't stumble on this. This is a mouthful, so let's look at it. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. Verse 9, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. Verse 11, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Now, it's been said that all of Scripture is equally inspired, but not all of Scripture is easily understood or equally clear. And this is one of those, because John writes, and he's writing here, and he uses a lot of words. He uses a lot of phrases. He uses things. He talks about testimony. He talks about three things agreeing. And he's doing this because he's going to point out that there are some things that we can count on as historical facts, that Jesus is who he says he is. In fact, in the ancient world, where Israel's law, for any testimony, if you were dragged into court, any testimony had to be verified by two or three witnesses for it to be true, for it to stand up. And so what John does here is he brings three witnesses to verify the testimony of who Jesus is. Two of them are, they're external, they're historical. And one of them is internal and very personal. So let's kind of start there with what it is that he says. The first one he brings up, or the first two, is the water and the blood. And there's a couple of different things that people think about this. Number one, some theologians say that this is about the baptism and the Lord's Supper, the water and the blood, what he was preparing them for. Some say this is distinguishing about Jesus' birth, you know, like when a mom's born and her water breaks, and then his death, about the crucifixion, about the blood. Some say it refers to the actual crucifixion itself. Do you remember when Jesus hung on the cross? And it says the way that the centurion verified that Jesus was truly dead on the cross is he came and he stuck a spear in his side. And it says that water and blood flowed out. Well, early on, I guess probably back in the second century, in the 100s, those who walked closely with the apostles, some of those early theologians, they suggested this, and this is kind of where I kind of line up and fall through, is that the water is referring to the baptism and the blood is referring to his crucifixion. So let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's start with the water. Let's start with the water. The Gnostics claim, and we've talked about this now for several weeks. Gnostics are people who, they were people who claimed to follow Christ and that they had a secret knowledge. Gnostic means, gnosis means knowledge, that they had a secret knowledge. And they would claim this. They would claim that the Christ, in air quotes, the Christ came upon Jesus at his baptism and it left right before his crucifixion. Well, listen, that's not true. Jesus Christ was the Son of God from the time that he was born to the time that he died and rose again and ascended to the Father. And John, the Apostle John, who wrote this book, he refers back and he appeals back to another John in the gospel named John the Baptist. Now, if you were to go back and look today, and I encourage you, John chapter 1, the Apostle John writes about John the Baptist, and he says that John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin, he was baptizing at the River Jordan, a real person, at a very real place was baptizing. Now, John the Baptist, I said, was Jesus' cousin. So they probably grew up together. I don't believe that John the Baptist knew that Jesus, as they were growing up together, was the Son of God. I think he probably recognized that there was something very different about Jesus. He didn't lie to his mother. He didn't like cheat on the rabbinical test. He didn't do like camel tipping or anything like that. He never looked at like any of the dirty scrolls that all the other boys were looking at. He knew something was different about Jesus, but he didn't understand what it was. I don't think he knew that Jesus was God. But the scripture says, John writes in John chapter 1, he says that John the Baptist was baptizing. John was he was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the great prophet who was making the way for the Messiah to come. It says that he was baptizing. Baptism was a symbol, is a symbol of our death, burial, and resurrection today in Jesus Christ. And that day it was symbolized the forgiveness of sin. So John is at the River Jordan. People are around. He's baptizing. And John stops and he sees Jesus coming. And I believe that the Holy Spirit revealed to him at that moment, because the scripture says, John looks up and he says, "Look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Listen, I've got cousins and you've got cousins. My cousins never thought I had anything to do with the Son of God. I didn't say he's the Son of God. John the Baptist says that when he saw him, When John the Apostle says, when John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Look, it's the Son of God. It's the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world." It said that when Jesus came up and said, "I want you to baptize me," John says, "Oh, wait a minute. I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus said, "No, listen, I should be baptized because it's going to fulfill all righteousness." Not now. Jesus didn't have any sin that needed to be forgiven. What he's saying here is that I need you to, you're going to baptize me because I'm going to be the model, the symbol of what the believers who will follow behind me, they will do as identification with me. There are some of you in here today. There are some of you in here today. You've never followed Jesus in believer's baptism. You've never done that. Maybe you're like me. Maybe you, as a small child, I was 5 years old. I remember talking to a pastor, and I'm going to put this in air quotes again. I was baptized, but I want you to hear this. It wasn't until I was 13 that I recognized that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. He opened my eyes. I was saved, and I followed after him then because a youth pastor helped me to see through the scripture that all those whose lives were changed by Jesus Christ, they followed him in believer's baptism. Some of you, you've never been baptized. Maybe your life has been changed by Jesus, but you've never followed him as Lord and Savior. You've never been baptized as a believer that you trust him as Lord and Savior. Some of you, you may have come up in a tradition where you were baptized as a little baby, a small infant. But since then, you've come to know Jesus Christ. He has personally invaded you and he has saved you. And I want you to hear that today is the day you need to take the next step to follow him in believer's baptism. And we want to help you with that. I want to help you. If you're in this room, come back to the pastor's area, out the door to the right. I want to talk with you. If you're online, would you send in that connect form? We want to help you be baptized. It's very important. Now listen, how is that a witness? Well, number one, John the Baptist, a real person in a real place at the Jordan River, Jesus came to be baptized. There were people around who saw him with his own eyes. John the Baptist said, "Look, the Son of God, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the entire world." A real place, a real man in a real time at a real river, he got baptized. But not only that, the scripture says that when Jesus came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven. Do you remember this story, those of you who follow Jesus? There was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." The people around heard the voice. They didn't know where it was coming. They didn't understand it. But real people in a real place heard, "This is my Son." The scripture even tells us that when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on him. I want you to know that what happened, it's historically undeniable. People saw it. They were there. They experienced what happened with him. And it was today written down. The second piece of this is the blood. It's the second witness. Write down that. You got the water, you have the blood. I believe this is a reference to the death of Jesus on the cross when his blood was spilled. I want you to hear this. Just like Jesus wasn't, he didn't become the Christ at his baptism verified that he was the Son of God. His death, he didn't cease to be the Son of God when he was on the cross. It's because he was on the cross and he was buried and he raised again that verified this is the Son of God. All the other little g gods are still in a grave somewhere. Jesus himself came out of the grave. He was crucified. Historically, there were people there who watched it. They saw it happen. The scripture tells us that there were women at the feet of his cross, at the foot of the cross. The one who wrote the Gospel of John and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, these letters, he tells us he was there. They saw it. They experienced it. There were Roman centurions who saw it. Historically, it's undeniable that this happened. It's rooted in that. Yes, there are facts that we can know. And those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, the third witness, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, they all agree. The Holy Spirit, the reason that you are a follower of Christ is because the Holy Spirit, internal and personal, woke you up. He opened your eyes, and you now are saved so that you understand what it is that's being spoken about right here. You know this. You have experienced this. The Holy Spirit tells us this, that Jesus himself is the Messiah, and the Spirit is always truthful, this passage says. He's always truthful. You and I, we believe the testimony of men every day, don't we? I mean, some of you are in this room because somebody told you, hey, that LifePoint Riverdale, that something's going on there. You believe their testimony and you came and experienced it. Today or tonight, some of you are going to go out to eat and you're going to go to a restaurant because some person, some man, some woman said, that's a great place to go eat. This past week, Amy and I wanted ramen. I don't know what it was. I wanted some ramen. And I started looking online. Where am I going to find this ramen? I don't want to go to Nashville, Murfreesboro, Smyrna. Is there any ramen somewhere? As we're looking, she's on her phone looking. I'm on my phone looking. Amy goes, hey, wait. And she called out a name and said, we know this person. They've wrote a review for this very place. That very place they wrote a review for, I'd never stopped at. I thought, there's no way. I ain't going there. She said, well, if they went and they liked it, let's try it. We went. We went because we trusted the testimony of someone that we knew. It was good. You can ask me later about where it is. It was good. They verified. John says that if you will believe the testimony of men, why would you not believe the testimony of God, who is greater? He does not lie. And he says this. Look what he says in verse 9. Verse 9, he says, if you believe the testimony of man, the testimony of God is greater. He says it's greater. In fact, in verse 10, he goes on and he says this, that if you don't believe the testimony, then you make God a liar. You make God a liar. Listen, that's not a place that we want to be. The scripture tells us in verse 11, he says that that God gave eternal life to all of those who believe. That he gave eternal life. It doesn't say that he's going to give it. It says that he gave it. Today, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, the Spirit has opened your eyes to the water and the blood and the Spirit, and they agree. You've agreed with the testimony because it is truthful. Your life has been changed. You're walking in eternal life right now. You realize that we're already living in eternity, don't you? The question is when you die, where will you spend the rest of it? Will you spend it with Jesus Christ in heaven, or will you spend it in a real literal place called hell? And the scripture says, let's don't make God a liar. Let's don't make God a liar. So the very first, that we may know Because we can know the facts. The second one is this, is that we may know because we know that he hears us. So point number two, we may know because he hears us. Look at verse 14 through 19. Verses 14 through 19. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Underline that, underline that, underline that. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Verse 16, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. Verse 17, all wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Verse 18, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who is born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Listen, what's being said right here is this. One of the greatest things that we can know as a follower of Jesus Christ that will help us to know we are verified is that our Heavenly Father, he hears us when we call on him. He hears us. You know, one of the great things about the phone today, these mobile phones that we have, these cell phones, is that when it rings, you can look at it and you get to decide, do you want to answer it, right? Listen, if there's not a name connected to it in some way, I'm not answering it. But when that phone rings, and it's one of my kids, that picture comes up that I've set that I love to see when they call me. When that picture comes up, I can, listen, I want to tell you this ahead of time. If I'm with you and that picture comes up, I'm probably say, hey, can you hold on just a minute? This is probably pretty important. I'm going to answer that. Your Heavenly Father, when his children call you, when you call on him, you know what he's going to do? He hears you. He answers that call. He answers it. Now, I want you to catch this. The scripture, John says, that when we call and we ask according to his will, when we ask according to his will, he hears us and he answers that. He answers that. God answers all of our prayers. Do you realize that? Now, what you and I really want to know is how do I get a yes? That's what I want to know. How do I get the yes? Typically, he's either going to answer yes, it's going to be no, or he may say, whoa, boy, whoa, hold on. Not yet. We're going to wait on that. But we want the yes. So how do you get the yes? Well, the scripture tells us that when we ask according to his will, not our will, his will. So how do you know the will of God and what you should ask? The word of God. The word of God is his revealed will. As we get into the word, as when we submit our lives to him, those historical facts, we believe the Spirit has opened our eyes. We've stepped into salvation. We've responded in belief. We bring ourselves under the word of God. Though we don't always understand everything, we don't understand why it's happening right now, we trust his word. Because he is not just a good father, he's a perfect and holy father. And so we trust that. We trust it. But when we ask according to his will, this shouldn't be foreign to you who have kids. Listen, my kids know what to ask me for. And they really know how to do it. Because if it really is something that I want also, guess what I'm going to say? Oh, heck yeah, let's stop. If we're in a car and we're going somewhere, and the quickest thing they can do is say, hey, Dad, can we stop and get something to drink? Yeah, let's do that. I want to answer that request because they know, listen, that's according to Dad's will. Listen, when we pray according to the word of God, his revealed will, when we pray according to what the living word of God, Jesus did, when we pray according to those things, the scripture says he hears us. Do you remember on the night before Jesus was crucified, the night he was betrayed, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember what he prayed as he was thinking about all that had happened and where he was headed? He was on his knees and he says, Father, If there is any way this cup, what I'm about to do, can pass, but not what my will is, what your will. You see, this is where we get off key sometimes. We get off kilter a little bit, is that we oftentimes, whether we realize it or not, we're trying to utilize prayer to move the Father to where we are. Prayer is all about moving us to the Father's will. God, we want to be where you are. God, we want to hear from you. God, we want to be in your will. See, prayer is not some cosmic slot machine. Stick a coin in, pull the lever, and all the spiritual goodies start happening. No. Prayer is about saying, God, what do you desire? God, we have requests. Listen, there are things that we really desire to see happen. I don't know about you. I've been, of late, I have found myself praying, God, would you remove this coronavirus? Would you just get it out of here? Well, listen, corona's not in the Word of God. You realize that, don't you? I mean, there's no word. Corona's not in there. So we don't know what God's will is for corona. You realize that God's will for corona, well, obviously, he's got a will for it because it's here. But we don't know what it is that he desires of it. And so, God, we're asking, would you, Father, if it's your will, would you please get this out of here? And God, if it's not, would you accomplish the work that you desire? And God, would you help me to see that? God, would you change me in the course of this? Some of you are walking through very difficult situations today. And I want you to hear me on this, all right? If you're online, don't, listen, wake up if you're online. If you're in here, wake up, all right? Here's the thing. You're walking through a difficult time today. The thing that you can know for certain is that if it wasn't the will of God, you wouldn't be walking through it today. Because if there's anything that Job, the book of Job in the Old Testament teaches us, is that everything that comes before us has to pass before him first. And so, God, what is your will? What do you desire? I have certainly prayed, Lord, would you let this pass quickly? But God, I want you to change me, remake me. Help me to walk through this with grace, whatever it is that you desire. Listen, you realize Tuesdays are coming, don't you? Typically, we talk about Sundays coming, but Tuesday's coming. And everyone in here, I don't know how many people are in this room or online watching right now. You all have candidates that you want to win an election. I get that. Probably many of you have already voted. If you haven't yet, please go vote. This is how, listen, God gives us the ability to govern by choosing our governors. We get to do that, so you go. But here's what I want you to catch, and I want to be really, really clear about this. You realize the scripture says that God brings up kings and he puts down kings. He set Pharaoh up for a very specific purpose. So the people that you desire to lead, whoever that is, you need to hear this. It goes on to tell us that the king's heart is like a river in the hand of God, that he turns it where he will. And you need to hear whoever it is that is going to be leading us after Tuesday, or if we find out in 4 Tuesdays from now, I don't know. I want you to hear this. He's there by the hand of God. And if you're trusting in a leader, you're trusting in the wrong person. Now listen, we need to go before the Father. Lord, what do you want? God, I want to do what you desire. But then you step back and say, okay, God, I don't know what your desire is, but I'm following after you, and it's your will be done. The scripture says here that there are sins. There is a sin that leads to death. Oh, my. What does that mean? Well, there's several things that people think. One, do you remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts? Ananias and Sapphira had sold a piece of property. They brought it to the Apostle Peter, laid it at his feet. They each did it separately. One came in and Peter questioned, and they ended up lying to him, and God killed both of them. They died. Could it be that? Maybe. I don't know. Some people believe the Roman Catholic tradition believes that there are venial sins, means lesser sins, such as lying and untrustworthiness, and that those things can be prayed for and forgiven, but they also believe there's another thing called mortal sins. Mortal sins are things that are so bad and so grievous, like adultery, suicide. They would say that those are unforgivable. Those are things that would cause you to lose your salvation. Well, listen, that is very handy when you can pay indulgences or you can work your way out of purgatory. But that's not true. That's not what the scripture teaches, all right? That's not what the scripture teaches. Here's what I think is really going on here, personally. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were teaching and preaching through where John says that there were antichrists, people who were anti the word of God, and they were teaching, trying to drag people away. In fact, he even, back in the earlier passages, in the early chapters, he says this, there are those who once were with us that are no longer with us, and if they had been with us, they would still be with us. So that means they are not of us. That was a mouthful, but that's what he said. I truly believe that's the same thing that's going on here, what he's talking about right here. He says, listen, there were people who were teaching false doctrine. There were people who were trying to drag away real true believers. There were those who claimed to once be followers of Christ and were no longer following him. Please hear this. If you truly have followed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because you did nothing to earn that, you can do nothing to lose that. Now, there may be people who say, I once followed Jesus, and today I don't believe any of that stuff. Well, I would tell you, they never trusted Jesus with the Lord and Savior. They were never followers of Jesus. And that's even happening in our world today. There are people today who write books, who have been pastors of churches and leaders and women's ministry people who they're telling us all kinds of things that I think the word is they've deconstructed their faith. They've kind of looked it over and they've decided, I don't know if I really believe that. And I'm gonna kind of pull over here for a moment. Do you realize that it always revolves around sexual ethics? They question about what God's word says as it relates to male, female, husband, wife, man, man, woman, woman. They question that. And they begin to go, I don't know if I believe that. You mean to tell me if God is this, then this? And they end up walking away. And they begin to bring people because they write books, they do all kinds of interviews and say, I've re-seen this now. I found the right way. I was looking this weekend, as a matter of fact, at people who have done this, these famous people that if I called their names, Joshua Harris, Jen Hatmaker, if I were to call their names, do you realize their lives are in shambles today? Rob Bell, their lives are in shambles today. Because if you can take the word of God and question one piece and say, well, that doesn't work here, then why can't you do that for the rest of it? You see, when we come to Jesus Christ, though we don't understand, we come up under his word and we submit ourselves to it. The scripture says that when we pray according to his will, he hears us and he responds. The last thing really quickly is that you may know because there are historical facts, that you may know because he hears you, and that you may know, number three, is that because you know the Son. Look at verse 20 and 21 real quickly. You can know because you know the Son. Verse 20 and 21 says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. Did you catch all that? We know that the Son of God has come and he has given us understanding and that we may know that he is true and we are in him who is true, Jesus, the Son of God. His Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true God and the eternal life. Verse 21, now verse 21 kind of closes uniquely. Verse 21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Did you notice that he says that Jesus is the true God? He's the true one. When you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence. The Holy Spirit, he agrees with the baptism and the blood, the water and the blood. These three agree. They do not lie. He takes up residence in you. You now, as a follower of Christ, begin to have understanding. You begin to see the scripture more clearly. You begin to know, okay, this is what he's saying. John Calvin says that the human heart is an idol factory. Do you realize that all of us set up idols in our lives? All of us. All of us. When Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, when he gives you understanding and the Spirit reveals to you, it's always easy to look at National Geographic online and go, oh, that's a totem pole. That's an idol. It's always easy to go, oh, that's a big, giant, golden Buddha. People are bowing down to an idol. Oh, there's like the old ancient oak way out in the savannah where all the elders go, and they worship. But I want you to hear this. We have idols that are set up in our heart that every day we have to get up and go and chop them down. Because as a follower of Christ, there's only one who should sit on the throne of our heart, and that's Jesus, the true eternal one who gives us understanding that he is alive today. An idol is anything that you sacrifice, time, money, effort, thoughts. It could be, I've got to have that new house. I've got to have that new house. I've got to have that new house. My kids, my wife. Amy, my wife will tell you that I make a terrible idol, as I should. There is only room for one God, and that's the true and living God who I've surrendered my life to, who you have. And every day we have to get up and go, this thing, retirement, what I'm going to do, what I want. I'm dead to that, and Jesus, I am alive to you. And he says, when you have the living God, the true one, who brings understanding, he says, children, it's like the close of a letter. Hey, little children, keep yourself from idol, comma, Kyle. John says, little children, you know the Son. Keep yourselves from idols, period. Set the pen down. Today, I'd ask you this. What are the idols of your life? Those of us who are followers of Christ, it's time to tear those down. Some of you in here today, some of you sitting in here today, the Spirit has confirmed, oh yeah, I guess this is historical. Jesus did walk the earth. He was baptized. He was crucified. The Spirit has given you understanding, and now he is drawing you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. I want to talk with you. I'm going to be out the doors and to the right. If you're online, text connect, text the words Jesus, 615-551-9800. You're going, is that real? Yes. Every week, somebody texts in something about this. We want to talk with you. If you're a follower of Christ, it's just time for us to evaluate. Is what I've been praying according to the will of God? If you're not seeing God answer your prayers, you're probably not praying according to the will of God. Father, I love you and I thank you. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for your word. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit is alive. I'm so thankful that we've been, those of us who have surrendered our lives to you, we've been changed. Jesus, I'm thankful that you forgive us. I'm thankful that you have mercy on us. I'm thankful that you remember my sins no more against me. Jesus, thank you that you paid the penalty for my sin when you were on the cross, and I get to trust in God and have right relationship with God because of what you did. Holy Spirit, would you save people today? Would you open their eyes? Would you bring them back and bring them to salvation? If there's someone in here that's far from you who has surrendered their life to you, but they've been walking away, would you bring them back? I pray for them right now, just as your word says. I pray for that brother, that sister, and I ask you to bring them home. Today, if you're in this room, don't leave without doing business with the Lord. If you'd like to talk to somebody, I'm going to be out the door and to the right. If you're online, send something to us. We want to talk with you. Jesus, change people. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do in this place today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that I ask all of these things. Amen. Zion, come and lead us.